It's just muted. We have an announcement. We just received this. So this was yesterday. They say the pleasure of your company would be most welcome. And for those of you, I mentioned this morning, a time machine. If you can go back in time, this was yesterday. Our parents' golden anniversary dinner, however, due to distance and time constraints, we understand they may not be possible. Nonetheless, we want to extend an invitation to you, as you mean so much to our parents and family. We send our love to you. This is Gretchen and Eli Tarbell, 50-year anniversary. They're celebrating their winter anniversary, wedding anniversary, Saturday, January 20th, 2018 at 5:30 p.m. So I'm assuming they would appreciate a card or something like that. But
part of it was live streamed. It was great.
What's that?
It was last night. Part of it was live streamed. It was great.
Oh, good. All right. All right, well, I am thankful to be here today. I'm thankful to be here with someone I can call brother and a friend. I know that our brother Jose always brings a smile to my face. It's great joy to be here with my brother. And even though he claims to not be prepared, I know he's fully prepared, especially his belief in the Lord will give him everything that he needs. So that I give you our brother, priest Jose Galvan.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
I'd like to welcome to each of you to the house of the Lord this morning. It's a privilege to be here. It's a wonderful gift that we have this building and that we are able to get together here and have this opportunity to talk about those good news, about the gospel. That's how it says it in the Bible. The good news that Christ has given us is a gift for us to guide other people. And I think my brother here that he's sitting here behind me because I don't know what could happen. I might fall back, when Christ sent the 72 disciples to preach his gospel. He always sent two by two, so should be two here, just for any reason, just in case anything can happen. And I do have a message that God has put in my heart today. I hope that you guys understand my point. I do have plan A and plan B, just in case if I don't. But actually, plan B should be my books. By my notes, I have them here written down, so I ask you guys to have your scriptures ready, your books ready, because as you know, my words, I sometimes cut off the last letter on my words, you might not understand what I'm trying to say, but if you have your books with you, you follow me, you will understand. You will understand. So if you can do that, that will be great. What a beautiful day we have outside. Yesterday it was a nice day too. It's always a beautiful day, as long as there's nothing wrong with you. As long as we're not suffering any sicknesses, it's a good day. But even that, God put us through trials and we have to endure and give him the honor and glory no matter what. No matter what you're going through, he's always there for you, and that promise we have that he will not leave you alone. Yesterday was nice and cloudy. It was cold, which is I'm not crazy about it. I don't like the cold weather, and I was talking to my friend right here, Gage. I was letting him know that he said it's a beautiful day, and I'm like, I don't know if I can agree with you, but it's cold. And I live in Washington State for a few years, and I decided to move back to Arizona because I like the three digits. I don't like too much rain, too much cloudiness to bring me down. And I should not feel like that, like I said. I should not feel like that because God makes everything the perfect way. He always makes everything good for our souls and for ourselves. And that's a little bit this that was my message today about today, that God never makes mistakes. He's always perfect. It's been an interesting end of this year. This is my first sermon of the year, but the ending of last year, it was not so great, but it was a reminding that our life is like the vapor, like a vapor, like it says in the Bible. Our life is, we are here today, and tomorrow, we don't know. So, for the first time in my life, I was able to witness that we don't have that much time. We are here very, very temporary. Our time here is very, very little. And you don't hear it from me standing up here. You hear it from almost all our ministry. We have to consider the time that we have and be quick to act, because we don't know how much time we have. But Christ, you know, in the Bible says even in the Book of Mormon, I think today we almost got close to Rita part, but it says, you know, Christ is not delaying. He's not delaying to come. He's not delaying. I believe that what he's doing is giving us each day another opportunity to come to him. That's how much he loves each of us. Have you think about that, you know? Each day is an opportunity to do things right with him and to live this things of this world. There's so many, there's so much. They kind of distract you from thinking that way, that we are not here forever. And so let's just consider those words today. We have not a lot of time to make things right with God. And we have to ponder those words in our hearts. The time that we have here, and especially us that we are members of the church, members of Christ, followers of Christ, we have a duty that we need to put it to work. We have talents that God has given us to each of us to put them to work. We have a talent. We need to make those, sharing them with your friends, with your family, with your co-workers when you have a chance, because you're not allowed to talk about the Bible in most places, most workplaces. But I saw a news the other day that in some states they're passing the law that they can in public schools they're gonna have an opportunity to have a class to learn about the Bible. I don't know if you guys read that, but I saw it in the news. I can't remember which states, but you hear it. Sometimes you hear in other states that they're removing it from school, you know. And the way this world goes right now, it's just like the waves of the ocean. It's just back and forth. But our duty is to bring the gospel, to bring the good news to our fellows. Like I said, family, friends, or whatever. I was able to go to Nogales, Mexico, last 2 months, two times, and I was pretty excited to go to Nogales, Mexico, and bring this good news to my family. I don't know if you guys remember me, my sister Esperanza. She's a member of the church, and she was baptized here. So I've been having this opportunity to go visit her, and so she's kind of spreading the good news there with her neighbors, co-workers, and stuff. So I feel like the Lord is opening a new door there. I ask you guys to keep them in your prayers, and then perhaps God does an opportunity there for us to go. Because the time that we have to value it the most we can. The Holy Scriptures talks about God make everything perfect. And I'm going to start with the Bible in Genesis 1. And we're going to take it from there. Chapter 1, book of Genesis. And I'm going to read verse 1, and then we're going to read verse 25. And the book of Genesis, chapter 1, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." We're going to go to 25. And verse 25 says, "And God made the beasts of the earth after his kind, and the cattle after their kind, and everything that creep upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good." God saw that it was good. Everything that God made, it was good. God makes no mistakes. It was perfect in every way. In Proverbs 16, we can go there. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 33. And actually, I'm just going to read it from my notes. Proverbs 16. Verse 33. The lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. In Spanish is, "La suerte se echa en el regazo, mas de Jehová es la decisión." He makes everything good. He never makes mistakes. We are the ones that make mistakes. He always gives us the right answer when we cry to him. You know, in Mexico, there's a lot of corruption, and I'm sure everywhere is corrupted, but the corruption doesn't come from them. We make it, the people, we make it. We make the corruption. It's not their fault, it's our fault. But God, if you come to him, he always has the answer for you. Our brother Jim this morning in the Sunday school mentioned the prince of this world, his best tool, his best weapon that he has to deceive us is lying. And I truly believe that, as I was sitting there, I truly believe that, which is, that is his fruits. There's the good fruits from those who follow Christ, but there's fruits that you can see from the evil ones, for those who follow the evil one. There is There is a group up there that follow the evil one. We have to be careful with that. And it told us in John 8, 44, chapter 8 of John 8, 44. And our brothers this morning, they lead me to that. Because it is, and he is the Father. In John 8, verse 44, it says, Christ is talking here, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and about now in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speak a lie, he speak of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. That's what my brother mentioned this morning. And how true that is, that we need to be careful with that. I mean, if we don't know our scriptures, it's easy for them to confuse us up there. And you know, that's, it's not them, it's not that it's coming from them, but the enemy is working through them to confuse us. You know, it says that in the last days, even the believers might be confused. In Romans chapter 5, Romans chapter 5, verse 12, it says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, by one man and sin entered into the world. And death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. By one man, Adam, our forefather Adam, he was confused. Even the God told him specifically the things that he should and she should not do. It was the plan of God. I don't know really. I can't give you the answer. But after that, after that point, he's been trying to bring us back, right? Sin entered into Adam when he partake of that fruit that God told him not to touch, eat, or even look at it. But God love us so much that he sent his only begotten son. And until now, it's been over 2,000 years, but he still has so much mercy that he does not want to lose one of us. He's given us the time and the opportunity, even until today, that we should try or at least consider it, that maybe next month, next day, next year, I'm too young right now, maybe when I get a little bit more older, I make that decision and come to Christ. But maybe that day will not come. Maybe it won't come. I'm going to read something that I write down here. We are here by the unity of race, not only in Adam, but in Christ. Adam's sin has affected us all of us. But the grace and the obedience of one man, which is Jesus Christ, have secured all men to offer the free gift. The free gift, the guilt that lay upon the race by a sin Adam has been removed through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We have a free gift from Christ. And he died for us to give us that free gift. He was obedient to the end without even murmuring. He did it because that was God's plan even from the beginning. So even our forefathers did not listen and did not follow those rules that simple rules perhaps that he gave them to them, they even mess up. So I believe that these days it's easy for us to mess up with all these temptations that we have around us. Let's go to Matthew chapter 26. Verse 36, 39. And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if there be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou will." He was obedient. "Not my will, but your will, Father." For this reason, he was sent to earth. Being a king, no need to come here, down here, and suffer for our sins. We own him so much, too much. This year, I was able to witness my father-in-law pass. And it reminded me to the promise that God gave Abraham. Your seed will be like the sand of the ocean, like the sand of the beach. And I know he meant that it will be so many. But we are this little, it's like nobody cares. We don't work that much. We don't work, not in a way valuable, but in this world, we are this tiny, tiny, despicable thing. That when you pass, no one cares. The world keeps going. The business keep going. The money, let's make money. We don't understand the end is coming. The end is coming, and perhaps there won't be any food for us, and we haven't come to that realization that money is not eatable. And that's what we're trying to gather all this money. What for? When it's not going to be valuable in those days, in the end days. There's other things that are more valuable, like to accept Jesus Christ in our hearts instead of money. I hope I don't see that day, or we will be eating money, see what it tastes like. Let's go to Philippians? Chapter 2, verse 7 and 9. "But made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. And it was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even unto the death of the cross." He did it for you, he did it for me, and he did it for the whole world. We don't have that much time. But he loves you so much that he's still giving us an opportunity to make that change. Romans, in Romans chapter 5, verse 18. It says, therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men into justification. Justification is, I was like, what is justification? It's to be righteous, to come righteous in the sight of God. But the free gift is for all of us, and it's here, available to you right now. Brother Joe and his wife and Dwayne and Deram in areas where people are hungry for the truth. And they are sacrificing themselves, their time, away from the loved ones, away from this, all these goodies that we have here in the United States, and they're going to places where I don't know what they have there. And if they have it, it's very hard to get it. But they put in the talents to work by preaching to those who do not know about Christ. And have you seen the pictures on them? They're so happy. They're so happy to hear those good news. Romans chapter 6, 23. Just next page. 23. It says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That is the free gift that we have for you and me. How can you don't want it? It's free. And that's what I love about my little church. We don't get paid for this. Our reward is greater than money. So, we need to get close to God. We need to get close. Let's try not to separate from Him instead. Since the time that He sent Adam and Eve out of the garden, He had a plan. And until now, that plan is working. It's working. Let's go to Leviticus chapter 5. I'm going to try to do this real quick. Not quick enough, but see if I can finish it. Chapter 5, verse 2. Leviticus. Have you guys seen the credit card? What's it called? MasterCard? MasterCard. Yeah, with the. So, here's paradise, the garden, paradise. Here's the earth. But you see those two circles kind of overlapping. We're going to read Leviticus 5, chapter 2 and 3. It says, Or if a soul touch any unclean thing, whether be a carcass of an unclean beast, or a carcass of an unclean cattle, or the carcass of an unclean creeping thing, and if it be hiding from him, he also should be unclean. In those days, there was a rule that if you touch anything that was dead, you become unclean. You become darkness. You become dirty. And you won't be part of the, I believe, the house of Israel. The devil can't throw you out if you've been found unclean. But so God gave them a rule here that you should not touch anything that is unclean. Wow, these days how much stuff we have touched that is unclean. Or you be unclean and you be guilty. That was what God told them not to do that. And Isaiah, let's go to Isaiah chapter 6. We're going to read 5 and 7. Isaiah chapter 6, 5 and 7. Then say, this is Isaiah's vision that he had. Then say, did I say 5 to 7? Yes. Then say, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. And I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King of the Lord of hosts. We live and surrounded by people of unclean lips, right? I mean, you can hear it, their language that they speak, and that was something for me that was hard to give up. I confess that I had a very dirty mouth before I come to know Christ. I wasn't born in the church. I was born up there in the world. And I know how it is up there. Verse 6. Then flew one of the seraphims into me, having a live coal, hot coal, burning coal, in his hand, which he had taken with a tongs from of the altar. And he lay it upon my mouth and say, Lord, this hath touched thy lips, and thy iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. Limpio, clean, is purged. To me, these days, that coal, that hot coal, is Christ. Isaiah saw himself dirty, just like these people, like in Leviticus says, if you touch it, you'll be as dirty as a sinner. But Isaiah in his vision saw this angel touching his lips with a hot coal. He didn't die, instead he got pure. And that is the goal of Christ these days. He's trying to touch us with the hot coal that we may come pure to him, right? So, from the beginning, even the people in those days will murmur against God and everything he has done, didn't see it. They were blind. But like I said, God is love. And until now, he has so much love that he sent his son to save us, to purify us, to make us white as snow. We're going to go to Psalms 51:7. Psalms 51, verse 7. It says, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. That's how David felt those days too. That's how we felt these days. we are surrounded by unclean things. But Christ can clean you up. That's his plan for the whole world, for the whole human race. He does not want to lose one of us. It's not delaying. He's given us an opportunity to be here. And Isaiah 1:18 says that even if you have the worst sin, he will clean you as his white snow. Even if your garments are red, he will clean you up because he has so much love. And Revelations, Book of Revelations, verse 22. Chapter 22. Verse 1 to 5. It says, and he showed me a pure, this is the vision of John, that he saw a pure river of water of life, clear as a crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it, and either side of the river was there the tree alive, which bare 12 manners of fruits, and yield her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, no need of candle, no need of light, nor of sun. The Lord God give it to them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. We shall reign with him forever and ever, and be with him in paradise. I have this draw that I make. Paradise, earth. I should have put it in the picture there. This is where we are. Christ in the middle. He's trying to clean this whole world to bring us back to him. I should have put it in the picture, but monitor. Anyway, we're going to continue on. So his plan continues on even into this day. But we have to open our heart to him that we may be able to partake of that promise. There's no need to no more sacrifice to clean our sins. Jesus fulfilled all that. He took it all, even into the cross. No longer need sacrifice. And chapter 23, the book of Luke, verse 43. It says, and Jesus saying to him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Shalt be with me in paradise. I don't see why now, what is the reason it's holding us. If we endure to the end, we will be with him. Isn't it what the scripture says? Just like he told to the thief hanging with him because he humbled himself. He was saved that very, very time right there in the spot. So we have until our last breath to come to him. In the Book of Mormon, 1 Nephi, First Nephi chapter 3 and verse 188. says, "And if they endure unto the end, they shall be lifted up in the last day, and they shall be safe in the everlasting kingdom of the Lamb." Second Nephi, real quick, chapter six, verse 42. And it says, "But behold, the righteous, the saints of the Holy One of Israel, they which have believed in the Holy One of Israel, they which have endured the cross of the world and despised the shame of it, they shall inherit the kingdom of God, which was prepared for them from the foundation of God, of the world. And their joy shall be full forever." That is the plan. From the beginning, from the time that he kicked our forefathers out of the garden, he has that plan to bring us back. And just the same way that he, Isaiah in his vision saw that seraphim touching his lips with the hot coal and be clean, that is the plan. And to there won't be two worlds, but one kingdom. And we'll reign with him forever. I never do this, but I have something here that you guys might not see any value on it. Would you guys like to buy this rag? It smells funny too, but I bet every single guy here has a rag like this hanging in their garage, right? And you know what? If I told my wife, "Can you go find me this tool or this rag in my garage?" She will not find it. As messy my garage is, I know where everything is. And I just go there and grab it because I know where everything is, She will not find this rag. I'll sell you this rag. How much you give me for this rag?
I won't buy it.
You won't buy it? Well, why not?
It's gross.
You can clean your hands. You can clean your face, perhaps. It has a lot of valuable, man. I mean, this is a very valuable rag, but it's, why would you not buy it? Because it's very dirty, huh? Maybe I shouldn't even touch it. Can you touch it right now? No, I don't think so. All right. Let's go to Isaiah 64:6. And Isaiah 64, chapter 6. And, okay, I'm sorry, 64, I'm on the wrong page here. 6. It says, "But we are all as unclean things, and all our righteousness are like filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away." You see where I'm going here? The whole world is like the rag. Dirty, unclean. Only to Christ that can be unclean, as we are filthy rags God has cleaned us, me and you. Isn't it? I mean, he said he will not buy this rag because it's dirty and it's stinky. But Christ gave his life for you and I being filthy as this rag. For him, this rag is so valuable, like it is for me, because I use it every day in my garage. Isn't it? It gives me even goosebumps in my skin just to think about how I was. And that's how you are without Christ. As bad as it sounds, that's how we are. Like filthy rags. All the things we do are not clean as we think. But even Christ paid for you and I, even of our sins. You know, this world is always trying to accuse us, especially those that we trying to do the right thing and be different as others. And that's how they know that you are different. The scriptures told us there will be scoffers that will make funny of you these days. We have to be strong. We have to be strong in our beliefs and not go with it as they, I don't know, making fun of you or whatever. Because we face those things every day in our work and outside in the street, outside of this building. There is filthy rags up there. And instead of trying to do good, they do evil to you. Let's go to Psalms. Psalms 101. Verse 4 and 6. Psalms 101. Okay. 4 and 6. A forward heart shall depart from me, and I will not know a wicked person whose prevail is slandering his neighbor. Him will I cut off, him that had a high look and proud heart will not suffer. All the way to 6. My eyes shall be upon the faithful. That's you and I. His eyes will be in us and you and I. He will guide us. Even there's these people like this one right here in verse 5. They will try to hurt you, like I said. There are filthy rags up there. That they make well with me. He that walketh in perfect way, he shall serve me. Romans, let's go to Romans real quick here. Chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verse 28 and 30. 28 through 30, I'm sorry. And even as they dare not like to retain God in their acknowledge, God gave them over to reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Being filled with unrighteousness, fornications, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, full of envy, murderous, debased, deceived, malignant, whisperers, backbiters, backstuffings, all that stuff God hates. Despiteful, proud, inventors of evil things, disobedience to parents. But they're up there. They're up there, and perhaps they want them to be, you to be in their same level. And do the things that they do. And you know what? If you do, if you fall for it, you'll be just fine. You'll be the most welcome person to their pack. But that's not what the scriptures teach us. We need to be strong. We need to be strong when that temptation comes. Because we know the truth. We know the truth. Let's go to 1 Peter. This will be my last scripture. 1 Peter. Chapter 2. Verse 24. It says, who his own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin shall live into righteousness, by whose stripes you are healed. I'm just going to go ahead and read 25. For ye were a sheep going astray, but are now returning to the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Those are words of comfort in our lives, and especially in these days. Our trust shall be in our Savior, Jesus Christ. That's where our trust shall be. But just be careful with those things that are going around you outside, because they're going to try to bring you down. And that is what they're doing, because they don't work with us. They work against us. They belong to the Father of lies. And as yet I read it here in Isaiah 64, He is the Father of lies. I'd like to thank you for your time and for patience. And once again, I'm very happy that I have this opportunity to serve you and to serve the Lord. I hope that this message there touch your heart, and perhaps God just talk to you through these words and through this message. Thank you.